This is Darrison Meringue.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Patrick Harrison, Danny Meringue.
Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
On the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your Huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hi, friends. How are we doing today? That's right. Patrick Harris with you. That's Danny Meringue to my left. Jeffrey Rust on the ones and twos. Happy Monday. Happy Monday to everybody. Already getting complaints on the YouTube chat about not talking about golf today.
That we're not talking about golf?
Please don't. Which I responded with, welcome to 1080 the golf.
This reminds me of when my wife gets angry at me for something she thinks I might do.
The predestined?
Yeah.
Rust, I know you haven't thought about this, and I know I'm putting this in your brain, but don't you dare do it, damn it. I will be so mad at you.
I mean, we'll throw a little sprinkling in there.
Well, why not? I mean, it's cool.
Yeah.
I just like to think it's because they care.
Yeah, it's fine.
I just like to think because they think we're cool.
I mean, we can talk about my golf. I golfed this weekend and got an egregious tan line.
We can talk about how I'm going to figure out how to golf.
Yeah, you're going to golf. Because you are the only one that is on the outside looking in.
I have to figure it out.
I am 1080 the fan.
I have to figure out how to golf. And I'm really excited to try to go to like all the Goodwills and hodgepodge a free set of golf clubs together.
I mean.
Because I don't want to spend money at all.
That's what you mean. That's what you do. I've had the same clubs for 10 years. I'm finally going to spend some money on some clubs, probably at the end of this year. Mm-hmm. Go get fitted at the end of the year and do all of that things. But, I mean, as long as you get a decent set, like just something decent to work with. Like, the technology's improved so much over the last decade that it's not really hard to do that.
I want to learn how to golf, but I don't want to spend money. This is going to end terribly.
Well, I mean, yes, but you can do it, you know, quote unquote, on the cheap. But like,
yeah, Goodwill, baby.
I mean, beyond that, like playing golf, you don't have to go to, you know, the $70 a round course all the time. I'm an idiot and I go to Chehalem all the time because it's a mile away from my house.
My father-in-law is a member at Royal Oaks. Maybe I can just ride with him.
That's a pretty good one.
He would like that, but I got to be better at golf before I go golfing with my father-in-law who's been golfing for 50 years.
Look, man, you've got many, like, I don't want to say cheap, but inexpensive courses. Like, you can go to Charbonneau and go play for $25. You can go to Summerfield and play for, like, $25. Mm-hmm. There's so many places, like, you could just go play for, like, any of, like, the, you know, Rose City courses. You can go play relatively inexpensively.
Well, then, do they still have, like, joints like Play It Again Sports with the used gear?
I don't think so. I wish. I don't think so, though.
I will say
this. Because we used to have one in Vancouver, not far from where my house is now, but used to go up to Hazeldale. And there was one there when I was a kid, but that's long gone.
Isn't the one by the ice arena still there?
The one at Valley Plaza?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it is. I think we've had this discussion, and I was like, oh, it is still there.
My dad always called that place Play It Again Sam's. I was like, Dad, that's a jazz movie by Woody Allen. That's not a sports spot.
It's a little adjacent.
There is still one in Beaverton and one in Vancouver.
Yeah, so
where in Vancouver?
Let's take a look.
I like that, right? I'm asking Russ, like, he knows anything about where things
Fourth
are in
Plain
Vancouver.
Boulevard.
Well, that. More specific, please.
11505.
Okay, so off 115th.
Yes.
Okay. So out in East Vancouver.
Yeah.
Fourth Plain literally goes from the west side to the east side.
Yeah.
It eventually gets to Orchards. Like that. Saying Fourth Plain Boulevard is like saying it's in Vancouver.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, yeah.
But yeah,
did I just get defensive about Vancouver?
You did a little bit, man, a little bit.
You
even knew like the street number, like what like cross section it was on. Okay.
Well, I mean, that's usually like, what it is. If
kind
it's
of across
street.
The street from the old Golden Corral.
Still got to be more specific.
Oh boy. Okay.
I'll just
look it up myself.
There you go. on the buying of clubs stand front. I can't believe I'm advocating for this because it's such a torrid, awful place. Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Marketplace has, like, I've seen, like, I'm like, that can't be real. And then it turns out, no, it was.
Oh, I know exactly where this is. This is where SR500 turns into 503. Say that again, Danny.
Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, yeah. I'd have to have a Facebook for that. My wife could probably do it.
Yeah.
But how do I know? Like, I'm 5'6". Do I need 4'8" clubs?
I mean, you're probably going to need some minus clubs, but...
What is a minus club?
So you have your standard club length, you get plus and minus.
Okay.
But that's after you get fitted. It's like
standard club length, all minus. because I'm short.
I mean, well, it all depends. Like if you're long armed or not. And like again, when you first start, it doesn't really matter. I do need to go get fitted for clubs because my legs are. We've talked about this many times. My legs are very short and my arms are very long.
Ooh, I like this. You make that radio money. Get the $500 Callaway set from Costco.
Yeah, you can get the Kirkland clubs, man. The Kirkland clubs are literally just Callaway knock like copies.
Really?
Yeah, and you can. They're nice clubs. I will show for them. They are a very good starter set.
I also just got told that I would be given clubs and then retracted and said, actually, $50.
There you go. Got to get something out of it.
Got to take some money out of it. We can't just be doing this for free.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
What is this? What is that they always say, that rich people don't stay rich by giving their money away?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude, but when you got a ton of money, like, you can give away some.
Sure, go ahead and find me the example of that. None of them.
Man.
None of them.
This is why I'm never going to be rich.
Mm. That's why?
I did get my first radio paycheck on Friday, though.
Oh, there you go. Your first actual one, huh?
First actual one, yeah.
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 Feels good, huh?
No, I was sad. Wait, the comma's there?
No.
I mean, I was stoked there was a comma.
Right?
That was exciting.
That's the nice part.
That was exciting. For the longest time, I got a radio paycheck of $88.56.
Mm.
That's for 4 hours every 2 weeks on the hot corner.
Mm.
It's like, I've been paid that for so long that I know exactly how much money it is.
And look, I mean, we don't do this for the money, certainly. But
we don't?
No.
I'm here for the money.
I mean, I do. It certainly helps.
I happen to like why I'm here for the money.
But I also have a YouTube. I also have a Patreon. I also work on TV. There's a reason I do all of the above to do well.
When Jeff Sacramento was in charge, I used to tell him all the time I would do things for free.
Mm.
And he was always like, oh, no, we can't do that because, like, labor laws and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, well, then pay me for it. And he was like, oh, no, we don't have money. I was like, dang, dude. What's up, man? What up, dude? He's probably listening right now.
I hope so.
Sick son of a B.
Yep. We love him.
At least he's retired and listening. Yeah. Danny, I heard today that there is a huge announcement coming up at primetime at 3 o'clock today.
Might be a little something.
Might be a little something.
Mm.
What an
exciting time.
We can play the game. The boys this morning had a little bit of fun with it. We can play the game. You can text in or YouTube chat what you think the big surprise could be. Wrong answers only.
Mm. I like the ones who think they're right, too.
I did like the idea they were talking about this morning about the big news not coming at 3, but at like 3:09, because they'll have to talk about lawn care when it rains.
Certainly.
I thought that was a really funny shot at them.
Mm. It's the olds.
But yes, huge news.
It's so huge.
Today at 3 o'clock. It's actually really cool. As somebody who knows the news, it's really rad.
It is. It's also kind of fun to lord it over people. Like,
well, that's what you insiders do all the time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You're like, I know things. You came in today and you were like, I know something. I was like, what is it? You were like, I can't say anything. Mm-hmm. I was like, damn it. What the hell is the point of this then?
It's fun.
I thought I was supposed to get benefits by doing a show with you.
You get some of it.
That's lame.
You got some of it.
It's been 2 weeks and I'm already like getting shut out.
Yeah, well.
I don't like it, Dan.
That's right.
I don't like it.
After the announcement.
Ooh, I didn't like that. No. I called you Dan. I didn't like that. No, I don't like that.
It's weird.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Put a weird taste
in my mouth. Well, I mean, even though I went by Dan for a very long time.
Yeah.
And then I just, like I said, just switched back to Danny.
I'm a big fan of Daniel. But that's only in appropriate moments.
Yeah, it is. It's also, you asked me like during a break last week, you're like, I just called you Daniel. Are you okay with that? I'm like, I didn't even notice it, to be honest.
Yeah, I notice if you call me Pat, though.
Well,
that ain't going to fly. Well, we've already had this conversation. We're not doing this.
Don't worry. I've got that one in the holster for when I need it.
Oh, God.
But yeah, no, the only people who have ever called me Daniel are my parents when I was in trouble and people who are reading either government documents or the cops. The only people. And actually, I don't even think, I got my new ID. Yeah, no. So we've talked about this on air before. I have multiple government IDs with multiple first names.
Really?
My license says Danny. My passport says Daniel. My conceal and carry permit says Dan. My military ID, I think, says Daniel.
Dude, you got a Costanza wallet over there?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm still wallet.
Dude, mine lives on the back of my phone.
I'm not. I can't go away from it.
People are like, what happens if you lose your phone? I'm like, well, I don't lose my phone.
Yeah, I still have the bifold, but I'm a front pocket guy.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you're so weird, man.
Yeah.
That is weird. I've never been able to trust a front pocket wallet guy.
Mm.
And I can't go away from a regular wallet because I feel like after, you know, I'm almost 49 years old, so I feel like there has been a mold in my right butt cheek. So if I quit carrying my wallet there, it would be like some sort of a cavity.
Well, see, this is maybe a little too on brand. Like when we're overseas, you're told not to put your wallet in your back pocket.
Oh, well, yeah, pickpockets.
Well, so I just got so used to having my pocket, or my pocket, my wallet in my either front pocket or in one of my button-down pockets on my BDUs.
Yeah.
That it, like,
well, putting so you in got my... the double dose of military and serial killer.
Yeah. Also, an abundance of pockets.
Yes.
Let me tell you, cargo shorts coming back, there's no one more excited about that than this guy, right?
Oh, I can carry around my tots again.
And like, yes!
Kali-do-kali. We're not touching
cargo
that one.
Cargo shorts. Cargo shorts.
We do
love all the pocket space.
We do got a sports show for you today. 3 hours of Scottie Scheffler winning the Open coming your way. I'm joking. The worst possible union in all of sports. What the hell are NFL players going to do going forward? Damian Lillard will have a press conference tonight at 6:00.
I'll be there.
You'll be there.
So we'll little recorder.
We'll chat about that in the 2:00 hour and what to expect, what we look forward to as he announced or is officially introduced as a Portland Trailblazer. Plus, have you ever listened to yourself for fun and enjoyed it? Lot to get to today, but when we come back, the NFLPA is in quite a disaster. That's next. Harrison Marang, 1080 The Fan.
But she always knows her only place. She's got style. Can prevent wildfires.
1217 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326. That's the Fan text line. She'll let you interact with us throughout the entire show, having a good time with the cats over at YouTube as well. That's youtube.com/1080TheFan. In a half hour, we'll get to
1080 AM The Fan.
1080 AM The Fan. Yes. Thank you, Russ. That's a professional producer right there. In a half hour, we'll get to Scottie Scheffler for all this golf talk for all you yahoos out there. But we start here in the NFL. And I find this such to be a fascinating story because, for the most part, I feel like even news outlets are trying to bury this story. Lloyd Howell resigns as the head of the NFLPA under massive amounts of scrutiny. This guy used the company card in impermissible ways. How many people out there have used the company card in impermissible ways?
Oh, God. The number of times, so when you're in the military, you have your government travel card, your GTC, and the number of people I have seen rack up UCMJ, Uniform Code of Military Justice punishments is infinite. Just being dumb about stuff, just regularly being dumb about it. And it was like, what are you doing? I remember one time, actually, survival school.
Okay.
My flight got changed, and for whatever reason, didn't get a notification of it. I ended up buying a flight back and paying for it out of pocket because I was not about to use my government travel card without the full authorization. Because even as a young, dumb airman, I was like, not doing that, because that is a very quick way, number one, to get written up and get UCMJ'd and get non-judicial punishment and get busted down in rank. And I'm like, nah, I'm good, dog. Don't need any of that headache. I have enough of my own problems that I create. I don't need to do this. Going to a peeler joint and using the NFLPA card to do it. Because he used it for a couple grand.
The ATM is what's the most egregious to me.
What are you doing?
You don't bring cash yourself.
You know, so here, like, if you're doing this, like, if you're going to use the a lot of media folks, particularly myself, like when we go to Vegas, we write off the entire trip.
Well, that's the whole point of going to Vegas.
Yeah, so I write off my flight. I write off my hotel. Because there's nothing that, if the IRS comes and goes and says anything, it's all work-related.
Sure.
Because it literally is. Because if I go to dinner with one other person from another team, it's work-related.
I write off the MLB Network because that's work-related.
Yeah, but just Vegas in particular. And I had a buddy of mine who does the same thing that I do. I've got an LLC that I run everything through. So
it loses money every year.
It's weird how that happens. It's weird how that happens. It's just somehow it loses somewhere between $35,000 and $40,000 a year. Eventually they're going to catch on to that. But he was like, you know what you do? Because before you leave, you hit the ATM up and you pull like another, I don't know, like 2,000 out.
The max limit of whatever ATM
you're at. And you pull that out. That way that's cash you can now write off.
Yeah, that's true.
And I was like, that's not a bad idea. I didn't think about that one. But doing it this the way he did it is just like, that's when I do it, it's my money.
Right.
Like, it's like I'm just moving it around. Still, yeah, I'm taking advantage of my money.
This isn't the money of your constituents.
Yeah, no, this is like, yeah, it's quote unquote company money, but I'm the company, so it doesn't matter. This guy is not the company, and he's doing this. And then there's the additional layers of, yeah, this guy also works for a private equity fund that is trying to buy into the NFL. And it's like, oh boy, I love how this guy went from when Pablo Torre, give Pablo his flowers, because he's the one, he's the reason this is happening.
As an around the horn lover since high school, mm-hmm. Shout out Pablo Torre.
But he did the investigative journalism that uncovered all of this, one thing after another. And honestly, Florio, him and mm-hmm. Florio were racing mm-hmm. to get this. And it turns out this guy's just a complete D-bag and screwing over his own people. And the improprieties that came out of this, like we were talking about this off air, this is going to get mildly political. I hate most unions. I understand the need
Uh-oh.
For them.
Uh-oh. Easy, Rod.
I understand the need for them, but I have been on the other side of the wall of many conversations. My wife works in HR, and the insanity that I hear come out of union leaders' mouths, just not even paying attention, but just like bits and pieces of things that come through the wall, I just go, ain't no way.
Is this the part of the show where I tell Danny that my father led unions for like 30 years?
Yeah. And why did your dad lead? We had this discussion. Why did he lead unions?
Because my dad felt most union leaders had their own agendas, and he wanted to be a man of the people.
And that is more often than not the case.
Which is very much my father. He was a man of the people.
And I'm not saying that all unions are bad, or that all union leaders are scumbags. That are all, like, but in my experience, most of them are like this guy.
Well, yeah, I think once you get to the big top, that's when things go bad. So it's impermissible spending, strip club, players union dimes, talking about culture and experience moments for players. The other big ones, you kind of touched on it a little bit. He seemed to be compromised as an owner first guy leading the NFLPA, which is pretty rough. And it's that whole collusion story. That's, I think, what really pisses some people off. How are you in the midst of a giant legal battle of collusion, of guaranteed contracts in the NFL, and you are not sharing that with the people you represent? I don't know which one of these. It leads to the question, what is the most egregious accusation on this list? I don't know the answer. It's fun to laugh about strip clubs. It's probably not that.
No.
But what's more egregious? Not informing your players about the collusion?
It's the collusion.
Or is it being more friendly with the owners?
It's the collusion, because it is a direct counter to what you're supposed to be doing.
You are colluding to hide the collusion.
Yeah. And it's like, what are, like, your job in this position is to literally deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah. What would you say you do here?
Yeah. And it's like, I would love to see the actual bylaws that list out like the powers and responsibilities for that position. I would bet you he violated basically every tenet.
Every single
in
one of them.
Doing this.
Well, he stepped down because his leadership became a distraction.
Well, I mean, it was hilarious when it first came out.
I love when rich people have to quit their jobs. I've become a distraction. I'm sorry. It is time for me to move on. I think there will be, we have built a great foundation here, and I give my full support to whoever's next in continuing the greatness that I have.
Well, created. I mean, we got
that the astronomer CEO.
we just packed him up. But
look at the stars.
But it's so funny. The NFLPA, like, we've speed run this, because we went from when the story first broke, like, I'm not going anywhere, to 10 days later, I'm gone, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, buddy, less than 2 weeks.
Boy, accountability sure is a tough thing for some people. It's something I preach to my kids all the time. I used to manage at restaurants, and whether I was effective at it or not is a different discussion, but I used to always preach accountability. If you screw up, you got to kind of own it.
Like, and it started with the collusion, and then it just kind of unraveled. Like, here's the thing. If somebody does something at that level of impropriety, you can damn near guarantee the second you start peeling that onion, it's going to be rotten and stinky. And I bet you if they kept digging, there would be more and more and more. And him resigning is enough of a reason. Like, hey, stop digging, please. We're good. I don't need you to keep digging. I'm gone.
Do you think they'll stop digging? Because I don't know. Shouldn't. I don't think he should either. Because part of this, you know, we'll talk some more about this at length in the 2 o'clock hour. But part of it to me also feels a little bit of like a news dump. You know, it was posted on ESPN on Friday, shortly after our show, because we missed it on Friday. But I think Primetime was able to talk about it a little bit. It almost feels like the media is being a little compliant in this, of also like, let's take this bad story away from the NFL.
Well, I mean, ESPN, Fox, all the big...
They don't want to run this story.
And the best part about it was, Pablo didn't really rattle the saber on that. Florio, awful announcing...
It's all the subsidiaries.
They all were like,
I mean, Florio works for NBC, right?
But even he was like,
yeah,
you better do this. And then NBC was like the first of the big ones to be like, well, I guess we should probably say something about this. But like, they guilted them into it. And even then, ESPN, like, it was a story on the main page, but it was like at the bottom of the main page, and it never touched like the actual like photo. Because of the rights deal stuff. And like, you got to imagine Goodell sitting there like, son of a...
It's like NBA players talking about Taiwan.
Oh, no, it was Daryl Morey.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
it's kind of like...
Yeah, no, no. It was like, hey, there's 600 million basketball fans over... And like, it had a... Do not get it twisted. Daryl Morey putting out the support of Taiwan on Twitter had massive financial implications for the NBA.
Really?
Yes. Massive implications. China cut off all direct feeds of the NBA for an entire year.
That's not okay.
Yeah. Like, they were like, nah, dog, you're not going there. Like, the fact that Morey got another job is impressive.
Yeah. I mean, it goes to show how good of a guy he is.
Even then, man, it was.
You can get blacklisted.
He almost did.
Well, let's peel back some onion of this a little bit more, as the guy in place to take over is. Also leaving? Mm-hmm. This story gets crazier and crazier. We'll do some more of that. Harrison Meringue, 1080 The Fan. But first, we'll kick it over to the Big Kahuna.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
What would you say you do here?
Coming in on the Fan text line, the media is being 100% compliant in this. They are all league partners and don't want egg on their face.
Well, yeah. That's not surprising.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that union bosses are corrupt? What are you going to tell me next? The Oscars are political?
Yeah.
I remember when they weren't.
I mean,
it's bad when the accusations of sexism aren't even a blip on the radar.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the truth. I mean, that's kind of the truth. It's like, you're looking at all these things, and I don't know if I'm with you. Like, I don't disagree with you, but I don't know if I'm with you at the collusion being... the worst, the most egregious, because the working for the owners, that really scares
me. That to me is like all
I guess they do encompass into one.
That's the thing, is like, your job is to literally be the barrier, not to be the person that interacts and works with. You are supposed to be the literal direct op. Like, if you're talking magnets, if they're the negative, you're the positive. Like, you are not supposed, like, you are two separate forces.
Almost last line of defense.
Like, that. There, it's complete and total separation. You do, as the union president, as the leader of all of this, you are supposed to not give a damn.
Yeah.
What the owners think. Your job is the betterment of your constituency and nothing else. This flies in direct opposition to that. It's like a dirty cop.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like, you are held to a higher standard because your job is to counter every single, like, every time somebody gets suspended, even if you don't agree with it, you are supposed to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is every single thing that the league does, you are supposed to fight.
Oh yeah. Baseball player gets caught taking steroids and you file an appeal. Even though you know you're dead to rights, you know you can't do anything, but you file
the guy
appeal.
Got caught with a needle in his butt. Like, you know what I mean? Like, your job is it's like a defense attorney.
Come in, like, a complaint.
Yeah, it wasn't me. But like, again, your job as a defense attorney is presumed innocent.
Truth.
Until proven guilty. And like, so that is how you are supposed to operate. So the fact that it's not even that the waters are muddied, it's like you're supposed to be at the dam. And it's not even supposed to let the water through. You know what I mean? Like, it is supposed to be a full-on impervious.
Halt, stop.
Yeah. Instead, it is a two-way waterway. And it's like...
It's a river now.
It's like, no, this is not supposed to happen.
It continues to trickle down because, let's see, this guy is the NFLPA Chief Strategy Officer, J.C. Treader. He was the player president from 2020 to 2024 before Howell took over. This guy was supposed to be the interim guy coming in to cover while Howell is gone. He has now stepped down. He is denied having any access to the collusion case. And maybe I'm misreading this, but he seems to me very defiant in why he has stepped down. This is his quote. He told CBS Sports this yesterday. He said, over the last couple days, it has gotten very, very hard for my family, and that's something I can't deal with. So the short bullet points are, I have no interest in being the executive director. I have no interest in being considered. I've let the executive committee know that. I'm also going to leave the NFLPA in the coming days because I don't have anything left to give the organization. Which leads me to a couple questions. Is he just really pissed off that all this happened under his nose? Or if Pablo Torre and Florio keep digging, is this guy going to be found? And he's hoping if I quit now, when it does come out, it won't matter because I'll be long gone.
Yes.
Yes to all of the above. See all of the above.
I mean, yeah. The second they start kicking under other rocks, like the whole, and this is, if you want to go, there's clearly somebody is handling this from a PR point of view. Because he's putting family in there, and the reason he's putting family in there,
everybody does it.
It's a deflection. There is a firm that is
so
running.
Annoying.
This. No, there's a firm that's, because the second you put family in there, it's like, oh, you can't touch this now.
So annoying. It's like when Urban Meyer retires from the Jags. It's like, I need to spend more time with my family. I'm flying too much to hang out with coeds. I mean, my family in Ohio.
Yeah, and so the whole the second you see that, you know that they've hired a PR management firm to do it. Like there's genuine fear.
There's genuine fear because he's involved. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to read that. It's hard to read that quote and really, I mean, he seems pissed off either way, but it's really hard for me to read that quote and tell if he's mad that all this happened without him knowing. But there's no way he couldn't have known. I give you 4 years as the NFL, you're 4 years as Howell's job, and now you're like his right-hand man. There's no way you don't know. There's no way you don't know.
Well,
but if you didn't know, boy, I'd be hella pissed.
Well, I mean,
I'd be so mad. And I would quit my job.
It's like
I'd be so mad at everybody around me that I wouldn't want anything to do with anyone.
It's like the astronomer CEO and HR chick at the concert. You know, there's been some reports that the other chick there wasn't the other HR chick.
I heard that this morning too.
But if it, like, let's say it was, like, the whole idea of, like, her being there, it's like she knew.
You're an accomplice.
She knew. Like, you know. If you didn't know, it's a failure upon you, because it's not just the collusion. It's the money. It's the improprieties. It's like, it's everything. And if you didn't know that was going on.
Are you dumber for it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like all your friends know your girl's cheating on you, but nobody tells you. And then you find out and you're mad at all your friends. Yeah. Are you the idiot? Or is everybody else the idiot for being a bad friend and not helping you out? Is that where we are in this case? No, there's no way he doesn't know. There's no way. But you're right, though. The family thing is playing the victim.
Oh, no, you're trying to deflect as much as possible.
Trying to deflect as much as possible. Boy, I don't know where the NFLPA goes. But maybe they don't have to worry about it because everybody's looking out for him. You know, everybody's watching their back. CBS doesn't want to lose their deal. Fox doesn't want to lose their deal. ESPN doesn't want to lose their deal.
No.
Good on Florio for forcing NBC to do it. But I do find that strange. Like once the ancillary places are all talking about it, and I don't mean to like poo-poo on the smaller runs, but when the ancillary places are starting to report on this and it's not making SportsCenter, something's up.
Yeah. I mean, it's purposeful because there's literally billions of dollars at stake.
But I also just think that makes you look worse, though. But is that just because we see it? Because this is the world we live in?
No, they're hoping that look, it's the same tactics always. Deny, 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 deny.
And that's where the world is right now.
I mean, this is nothing new.
It feels new to me.
I've got friends,
robbed in this.
Well, I have friends that work in this particular career field, the crisis management stuff.
Oh, I thought you meant our media field.
No,
I hope you have friends.
No. I don't have any of those friends.
I'm your friend,
yes,
Dan.
I have friends in the crisis management stuff. And it's, I'm like, brother, I want nothing to do with this. So one of them used to work in PSYOPs, the military. So it's very...
That's like, crisis.
Yeah, it's about optics and how you deal with things. And like, he has told me some stories that I'm just like, nah, dude, I'm good. Like, I don't like, if you're ever getting called into these, you're never getting called in because things are going great. So you're dealing with just like, usually wretched, rancid, horrible stuff all the time. And I'm just like, he's like, and I'm, part of it's like, you get paid a lot of money. He goes, yeah. He goes, some nights I don't sleep well.
And yeah.
I'm just like, oof.
Dude, some nights I wake up at 3 a.m. and forgot to give Table 42 some ranch. I don't want to wake up in the morning and say, man, I forgot that guy got fired because of my mistake.
Dude, I still have restaurant nightmares.
Do you?
And I haven't worked in one in, what was it? Probably 2013. So we're going on a dozen years or so.
Yeah, I got out in April.
Yeah.
In April. And I'm just waiting to get fired from this show so I can go back because I miss it so much.
Yeah. I have nightmares of going back to old Chicago and just getting thrown behind the bar and tickets just keep popping up and popping up and popping up. And I'm like, I don't know how to work this POS anymore. And
that's the big news at 3 o'clock is that I'm fired already.
Yeah, me too.
You want a party? Let's go get hammered today. All right, we'll put a bow on this. We'll come back to this in the 2 o'clock hour because I do think there's the whole other side of it of the players' reaction. They're like, Will Compton had a really scathing quote and where do they go from here? Do they have any leverage? You know, is lockout on the loom? We'll look at the union in comparison to other sports. So we're a lot to get to with this more in the 2 o'clock hour. But by popular demand, the Open Championship finished up yesterday. I watched a lot of it. I got up early and watched a lot of it. We'll dive into a little bit of that and have some fun with it. It's Harrison Marang, 1080 The Fan.
It's time for the Easy Play, brought to you by HomeZ, making home improvement easy.
He hammers this ball, and the Astros take the lead. A no-doubter, Christian Walker leaves the yard. It's 4-3 Houston.
That's Aaron Goldsmith, the great Aaron Goldsmith, on Root Sports with the call. Christian Walker gives the Astros a lead for good in the sixth inning. It snaps a three-game skid for them. They're still up 4 on Seattle in the AL West. I thought Seattle had a really good chance to close this out and sweep them. Either way, the Astros, despite that win, I don't think they look very good, and Seattle's kind of charging.
Yeah, what's the number again? How close are they?
54%?
No, how close are they? 54%?
They're right there.
Look,
I'm going to
keep making the joke until either the ownership changes or the
53.5.
53.5. Well, got to get it up. Mariners welcome the Brewers for a three-game set starting tonight. Curbs on the mound. This Easy Play brought to you by HomeZ. Use HomeZ's online calculator to estimate your project instantly. Make it easy. Call HomeZ. That's H-O-M-Z-E. HomeZ.com. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll have weekend scraps at 1:45 and... watching stuff about you by design. Huge news coming up at 3 o'clock here on The Fan. If you haven't heard, that's all I'm gonna say. And it's not because it's Big Ten Media Week. Although because it is Big Ten Media Week, we will have some fun this week with that. A lot of college football planned for this week. A lot of college football planned for this week. We'll have Tyson Alger on the show hopefully on Wednesday. We will have Dan Lanning live from the podium on Wednesday. He is slated for 12:15. So we'll put that live for you guys. This will be fun for you because I am...
I'm a humble guy, but don't love the Ducks. Don't love them.
No, that's why we'll have Tyson to be in there. A little bit of a buffer.
He'll be a little bit of a buffer. I love that guy. So that'll be exciting stuff on Wednesday and just... all over the Big Ten, the B1G all week for that. But the big story over the weekend is Scottie Scheffler wins the Open in kind of dominating fashion. It seemed like day one he kind of had a little scuffle, but had a nice finish out. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it was the Scottie Scheffler show, and especially Saturday and Sunday, where nobody really gave him a threat. And this guy is so damn entertaining to me because he's not entertaining. I find him absolutely fascinating. I want to watch every moment that he has on the green. Time he speaks, I was watching. He almost had a chance to birdie on 18. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching. He just missed it. You can kind of see me react a little bit. That wasn't what it was. But I was excited to see how he reacted when he hit that last putt in. And it was like he tapped it in and goes, so what do I do now? It's over? Oh, okay. It's over, I guess.
I was playing on Saturday out at Chehalem and was playing with a family from Texas. Husband, wife, son. Great, great family. And I get the text alert that, you know, Rory hit that 56 footer for Eagle. And I'm like, oh, maybe I need to fire this up. Then I looked at the scoreboard and I was like, nope, never mind. Scotty's got this. In. So Scotty shoots the top round in day two on Friday, shoots a 64. And then he shoots top 10 to close it out on day three and day four.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that all, it's gone. It's like, it, he was third? Had the third best day on Saturday, and I think he was 10th on Sunday. It's like, yeah, when you have, let's see, let's go through it. You're one stroke back after the first day?
I think so.
Day two, he had the best score. Day three, he had the third best score. Day four, he had the 10th best score. That's going to win you a lot of tournaments.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, especially when you when your one is the best, I think it was the best round anybody shot all week, wasn't it? I don't think anybody else shot a 64.
I think Bryson DeChambeau shot a 64 on Sunday.
You're right, he did. Bryson did shoot a 64. This is the only other 64 of the tournament.
If you wouldn't have S the bed so bad on Thursday.
Yeah, just bleh.
Maybe the theme of our day today is media collusion. Boy, the media really wanted Rory to win that thing. I get it. It's in Northern Ireland. Yeah. I get it. I get that. But it felt more than that. It's like, you know, you listen to national pundits, right? Colin Cowherd loves to do this. He, like, so many national guys don't want to talk about Scotty because he's boring. And like I said earlier, I find him being boring fascinating. But it's like, you clearly don't watch it because Rory shot okay, but Scotty's the best golfer in the world. And he keeps showing you that. And the fact that he does it and doesn't even care, what would happen if this guy cared? You know? If he's just like, you know, what does it all mean? And I don't know, life's big purpose and all this stuff. What if he actually cared? He'd probably be a bad golfer. I bet you that's why he's good at golfing. Which is why P. Harris is going to be terrible at golfing. Because I am going to care too much. Maybe I won't care. Maybe I shouldn't care.
I mean, like, we had a little bit of this discussion on, was it Friday, about this. Like, I don't know where that falls in today's world of sports. Because, you know, we were raised on the psychopaths.
The Kobe's, the MJ's, yeah. The Peyton Manning's, the Tom Brady's.
And I think to an extent, I know Scotty.
Tom or Greg Maddux?
I mean, yeah. But I mean, I think to an extent, Scotty portrays that he's not this, but this is also the guy that was like working on his swing while he was in a jail cell.
That is true.
Like, I think he tries to portray because of like the idea of like being that is like quote unquote bad. Like, you need, like, no, it shouldn't be the number one thing. I think it actually might be the number one thing to him,
mm-hmm.
but he's very good at pretending that it's not.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can,
you can't
get this
be
good.
That good.
Like, it's Serena. Serena was the same way, but Serena was a psychopath.
Yeah.
An absolute lunatic. Like, and this, I'm not saying this in like a way to bash her. Have you seen her lately?
Serena?
Yeah. Have you seen her physically? How different she looks?
I don't think so, no.
She has lost a metric crat ton of weight.
Oh, because there's probably not all that muscle on her.
Yes. And that's my point.
Dude, pictures of her and her husband. If you ever think you don't got a shot at the girl, take a picture. Take a look at those two.
It's also worth billions.
Understood, but like that's true love. But they love each other.
When you what
that guy's my hero too. He founded my only social media.
I say he founded Reddit. He sold it for like $4 billion, didn't he?
I love that.
Like, he sold it for a metric crap ton.
I love that.
But I say this about Serena because like what made Serena great was, yes, she was obviously great, but her physical dominance over every other woman was just, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
She was a powerhouse, and you can't be built like that without being an absolute psycho.
That's the truth. I was just kind of messing around about him not caring. It's just because he shows that he doesn't care.
I think
but
he's
you're
really
right.
Good.
He has to.
I think he's just really good care. About like how to like flipping that switch and just be like, ah, whatever.
Boy, that jail story is going to be so weird when Scotty retires. I mean, assuming Scotty doesn't retire in like 2 years. But if Scotty plays another 10 years, 10, 15 years on the pro circuit, and we look back one day, remember that time when Scotty Scheffler got arrested? There's going to be like some new golf fan that's like, no, Why would Scotty Scheffler ever get arrested?
Of all people.
When we were there, we thought the same thing. We all thought the same thing. I love Scotty. I love watching him play golf. It is so clinical. He is so good. And again, I'm fascinated for the non-reaction. And what it is actually leading up to is it's leading up to someday he's going to have a huge reaction. Don't you think? At some point, yeah. At some point. Now, he's won, so I don't think it would be a bad thing. Like, I don't think if he, like, blew up on 16, 17, 18 at the Masters and lost, you know, his third green jacket. I don't think it would be that. But it could be something crazy. You know, maybe he wins a fourth Masters. I don't think anybody has four Masters, do they?
Off the top of my head. I'm not
I think it's just three. I got to check back on my golf record. So either way, say he broke the record for most Masters won. Maybe then? I mean, we finally saw Rory, but Rory was always kind of a little emotional.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Like,
maybe that's why I like Scotty, because I'm an emotional little bitch, and I like guys that can hold it together.
Does Scheffler, like, if he starts, like, getting close to some records,
yeah,
then do we see the, like, the psychopath come out?
Don't relate him to Tiger. He don't like that.
Now I want everybody to. I want him to get close and be like, well, maybe is he on the same level as Tiger?
He's got the same amount of majors in the same amount of time as three dudes named Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, and Ben Hogan.
I mean, put him on the pedestal and watch, see what happens.
As everybody knows Scotty's got first place, everybody is vying for second place. That reminds me of something. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Harrison Marang, 1080 The Fan.